Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Good morning, LAT. This is Hilary Turiagenda, also known as Doc Hill. It's another Sunday that we are together again, and we count it as an opportunity not to be wasted. It's an honor and a privilege. Dear Holy Spirit, we ask you for the power to communicate and the power to assimilate, the speed of getting the thought right there to where somebody is in their heart, and the speed of the person catching the wind of heaven, being right on the frequency that they need to be on, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Just turn to your neighbor and say something good is going to happen to you, because indeed it will. Hallelujah. Yes, today we are talking about angels. Last week and the one before that, we talked about walking with God, and somewhere in there we got to the point of recognizing divine appointments, which include angels coming into our lives as a contact with God, as a means of encountering God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So today I want to discuss that, because that's where my heart seems to be directed by the Lord. And we take it from Psalm 103 verse 20, which tells us, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, you ministers of his, who hearken to the voice of his word." Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Who hearken to the voice of his word. This hearkening to the voice of his word does not mean hearing. No, hearkening actually means hearing and acting upon what you've heard. Or in other words, going into action upon hearing what you are hearing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now, there are three aspects to this hearkening to the voice of his word, which come from the word itself, the nature of that word. The word is the word of God, in the sense, first of all, that God is the one speaking it. That's one way it's the word of God. The second way it is the word of God is in the sense that you are voicing what he's saying. You're voicing his word, so it still is the word of God, except that it's coming from another address. It's being parroted or echoed or voiced or repeated by someone other than God. However, it is from God. Praise the name of Jesus. Yet, there is also other aspects in there, because it can be the word of God still, in the sense that it's not word for word, but it is a paraphrase of what God is saying. That would still be the word of God, if you paraphrased what he was saying. And many examples of that occur in the Bible itself, where people would quote things that had been said by God and men of God on behalf of God before, but combined pieces here and there. And then what they combined was also scripture. So it also became known as the word of God. So that is an example of how it happens also with us. Sometimes you paraphrase, and what you paraphrase is also qualified as the word of God. On the other hand, it is also the word of God when you may not even paraphrase, but you may speak based on the word of God. Like when we say what you're saying is scriptural, we don't necessarily mean that you're quoting an exact verse, nor do we mean that you're paraphrasing, in other words, joining verses from here and there, fragments from here and there. Sometimes we just mean that what you are saying can be fitted into the word of God. It corresponds to the word of God. And so it is in the same spirit as the word of God. Hallelujah. So that is also the word of God. All in that second category of the word of God voiced by you is also the word of God. Hallelujah. Then number three is the fact that the word of God actually is made up of words. Just like when you tell someone, "I want to have a word with you," you don't mean that you're going to say one word, one literal word. You may actually exchange words at this meeting where you are meant to have a word with someone. Glory to God. So that is also scriptural, by the way, because John 3:34 tells us that he whom the Lord has sent speaks the words of God, because the Lord gives not the Spirit by measure, unto him. This is Jesus speaking about himself, though in third person. Glory to God. He's saying that he speaks the words of God. He came as the one with the Spirit without measure, speaking the words, plural, the words of God. Now, this reoccurs in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 and 13, where the Bible tells us that we have received the Spirit not of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. And then he says, these things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. In other words, there are words which the Holy Spirit teaches. And to really be straightforward about it, all the Word of God is the words that the Holy Spirit teaches. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Both when we say the spoken word, the written word. Actually, all this came from the spoken word. What is written is spoken. Even when someone writes something that they've never spoken, at least in their head they are speaking it. So every written word is a spoken word, and every spoken word is a writing on the wall, so to speak. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, this brings us to an important point, that if the Word of God is made up of words, and the Bible is telling us that there are particular words, not just any words are the Word of God. The Word of God has a distinct vocabulary. It has a distinct language. It means that the angels themselves who respond to the Word of God don't respond to any words, since not any words are the Word of God. They are particular words. In fact, John 12:59 makes it even more vivid when Jesus says that the Lord gave him commandment what to say and what to speak. The scholars tell us that those two words are different. What to say in that particular verse means what to say, and then what to speak means how to say it. In others, he has given me commandment what to say and how to say it. So if it's that particular, then the angels who respond to the voice of his word are not just going to respond to any words. They respond to particular words. But I want us to see that if that is the case and they respond particular words, that is the more reason why not any angel responds to any word. Those words, naturally, because they dictate to activity, they will cause there to be groupings and classifications of the responders to these words. Glory to God. Because they define activity. So it would be natural that those who respond to words or particular words will not respond to certain other words, even now when they are in the greater volume we are calling the Word of God. Now, these are not words from outside or words that are not the Word of God. We are talking about words that now are the Word of God. But now in those words, there are different kinds of words. Praise the Lord. And this is actually scripture. You see, just as how the Bible shows us in the book of Revelation, how there is this character who has a white horse and his name is the Word of God. There's a sharp sword issuing from his mouth. It's called the Word of God. We could borrow from that to see that if the Word of God, now I'm coming to the point here, that the responders to these words naturally take on the identity, or rather their identity becomes the things they respond to. Praise the name of Jesus, which is natural. Like when people do engineering, we call them engineers. When people are in the economic sector, we call them economists. Now, even in the Word of God, it's like that. You find this character called the Word of God. He's the speaker of the Word of God, and he ends up being called what he is involved in, which is the Word of God. He's a messenger of the Word, and he ends up becoming what he's the messenger of. You know, like people say, you are your message and you are one. Praise the name of Jesus. We could now extend it to the fact that your assignment and you are one. Your assignment becomes your identity. Now, angels are like that. You find that because they don't just respond to any words, the Word of God to begin with is not just any words. It has its own words that don't work in another field. Every field has its own words. So in the same way, the Word of God has its own words. So if the angels don't respond just to any words, but to the words that are taught by the Holy Spirit, it also follows that the angels who do respond to the words of God will also respond dictated to by which words are we talking about. Hallelujah. And so I'll give you an example here in the scriptures. And the reason we are talking about this is in the spirit of helping us that if we can easily miss the angels who manifest themselves in the physical to us, you know, so that we are encouraged that we must be hospitable, how much more would it be hard to recognize those who are not even showing up in a way that our physical eyes can see? So it means we need some indicators, we need some help of the Word of God, and it's already there to help us so that we can recognize divine appointments. We can recognize when God is contacting us, or God is engaging us, or God is choosing to be forthcoming. You see, that's what we are after, to walk with God. Hallelujah. And so here in the scripture, we have one perfect scenario here in Romans chapter 11, glory to God, where the Word of God now introduces us to something interesting. Yes, it tells us in Romans chapter 11, verse 14, that Elijah was lamenting how he's the only prophet, he's the only one left who has not bowed the knee to Baal. And then the scripture brings in something interesting. It tells us, and what did the answer of God say unto him? Praise the Lord. You see that? We are beginning to see that, wait a minute, the Word of God is telling us something more here than just scriptures, or rather words, because we've said the angels respond to the voice of his word, which is also words. Hallelujah. And these words end up becoming not just the job description, but the job description is becoming the description of the one doing the job. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. That's why we had angels called, I'll talk about some, glory to God, and this is one good example. Romans 11:14 tells us, and what did the answer, or what saith the answer of God unto him? I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Now, when you read this almost casually, you're bound to miss the point that the answer of God here, and this for now you can take it as my opinion, is that the answer of God wasn't an idea in his head, although it manifested as an idea. It was actually an angel. Praise the Lord. The angel called the answer of God, said something to him. Praise the name of Jesus. And now when you take that to heart, then you begin to realize, wait a minute. In the scriptures, for example, with Jesus, you find that often as he preached, many people asked Jesus questions which were designed not just to trap him, but to have him killed. Praise the name of Jesus. A good part in the Bible where you find a lot of this is in Matthew 21 and 22, where I'm telling you, again and again, these leaders came to him, and it was very clearly spelled out that they wanted to trap him. They said something so that they might trap him. They asked him a question so that they might catch him in a mistake. But that's what actually the Bible overturns. You know, the Bible says he catches the wise in their craftiness. And so he did this on this occasion as well, many times. They asked him, for example, these things that you do, by what authority do you do them? And then Jesus, as if helped by some unseen being, happens to have the right answer. He tells them, I will also ask you this. Now, you see how the angel called the answer of God is working? He's saying, I will also ask you this. The baptism of John, where was it from? And so they begin to struggle and say, ah, if we say this, he will say that. If we say this, this other thing, then he will say that. And then they said, we cannot tell. And Jesus told them, neither will I tell you where I get my authority. That is him being given insight by a heavenly messenger. And the cause for that is so that he might catch the wise in their craftiness. That's why 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, it says God catches the wise in their craftiness. Now, the answer of God helped Jesus to have the ability Number one, to answer people by asking them other questions. You see that? They asked him about the authority by which he was doing things, and then he said, I will also ask you this. You see that? So in asking them a question, he caused the ones asking him to be the ones who are answerable. Glory to Jesus. Now, then they also asked him about taxes. They told him, is it lawful to pay tribute or not? And then he tells them, bring me a coin. He says, whose inscription is this? Again, you see, he's now the one turning the question on its head by instead asking them a question. Glory to Jesus. And of course, you know what happened? The inscription that they had on them was Caesar. And so he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. You see, he has answered the question. But it's a question that leaves you with questions. You know that? Has he said it is right to pay tribute or not? Because to give to God what is God's also involves giving money. You see that? Which also has Caesar's inscription on it. So where does that leave us? Well, that is what catching the wise in their craftiness is. The other question they asked him was, there was this woman, she had a husband, he died, and then her brother, you know, the husband's brother, took her on, and then, of course, they became husband and wife, then he also died, then the other brother, like that, until seven brothers. Then says, and then they asked, in the life to come, whose wife shall she be? And the Bible says that he told them, you people, you don't know that in the life to come, people are like the angels, and then he also outwits them in that. He tells them that they neither marry nor give in marriage. But you think they stopped? They didn't stop. They continued. See, this is Matthew 21, verse 23 to 27, tells us about them asking about his authority. Matthew 22, from verse 15 to 22, tells us about the paying of the taxes. Matthew 22, verse 23 to 28, discusses the woman who was married by the seven brothers. And then Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40, tells us about them again getting together. You see, this is funny. After these three attempts, the Bible says, now when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they got together and decided now what strategy they should lay. And the idea they came up with is, let's ask him this, you know, what is the great commandment of all the commandments? And of course, again, he's given an answer to give them, divinely given an answer. And then he tells them, you know, that it's love, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and so on, and then love yourself, and this is the great command, all these are the greatest commandments. Praise the name of Jesus. And then, of course, he closes it off by asking them, the Son of Man, whose son is he? So they say, the Son of David. Then he says, but how does he call him Lord? He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, this is the punchline. The Bible says that at this point, now we are in verse 46. No man was able to answer him a word, neither did any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Hallelujah. You see, this angel was actually helping him to do battle against those who were trying to bring his downfall through a question that would trap him. These questions were not casual questions. They were questions meant to trap him so that he would make a mistake. And by making a mistake, they would have justification to have him killed. So he really needed rescue. Just like in the case when they brought a woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. And they asked him, you know, they told him the law says we must do this and this. And then he leaned down and began to write on the ground. And, you know, people have speculated many things about that, but we can simply say that he was waiting for an answer from God, an answer to give in such a conundrum, in such a fix. And guess what? He gives them the super answer. He tells them, let he who has not seen cast the first stone. And men, one by one, they started to walk away. Why? Because the angel called the answer of God was helping him. Praise the name of Jesus. By this angel, he was enabled to answer by asking, as well as, praise the name of Jesus, to make people unable to ask questions that he had no answers for. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, here is the second example I can give you. And this one is also sweet. The Bible tells us about what I can call the angel called the joy of the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Yes, that can be just like a feeling from God, a sensation, an experience from God, that is your strength. But also, the joy of the Lord is by means of an angel. Remember, the angels hearken to the voice of his word, which word is contained in words, particular words that God uses, particular vocabulary and language. They hearken to that vocabulary. But by being charged to those words, by being responsible for those words, they end up taking on the identity of the words about which they are serving. Praise the name of Jesus. So those who serve in the cause of joy end up becoming that the identity of joy. Praise the Lord. Those who serve in the cause of the answer of God become the identity of the answer of God. So when you say the answer of God said to me this, the answer of God is both a word and also the one who hearkens to the voice of that word, who is someone called the answer of God, an angel called the answer of God. Now look at the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You read that and you rejoice, and then you forget that, wait a minute, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Luke 22, when Jesus was praying and interceding for the coming crucifixion, the Bible says in Luke 22 verse 43 that an angel appeared unto him and was strengthening him. Hallelujah. Now wait, Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And here comes an angel in the time when Jesus is interceding over the imminent crucifixion. And the angel is appearing around him and he's strengthening him. Then the lights come on, because now suddenly you're remembering that the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2 that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Wow. So the joy that was set before him was an idea, as in an idea. He foresaw the victory that was waiting for him on the other end of the sacrifice. And that foresight, that being able to see ahead, helped him to endure the cross. That is good. But also remember, there is a person showing up on the scene, an angel, an entity showing up on the scene in the very cause of that strengthening. So then you begin to realize, wait a minute, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, is supposed to line up with an angel appeared around him and was strengthening him. For the joy set before him, an angel appeared and was strengthening him. For the joy set before him, an angel was appearing around him and strengthening him. Praise the Lord. Which means this angel that appeared and was strengthening him was that joy that was being set before him to help him to endure at the cross. So the angel of joy, or the angel joy, appeared to him and was strengthening him, and thereby he was encouraged to endure the cross. Joy how? The joy of victory, the joy of coming success, the joy of things turning around. You know, like when the Bible says weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So he's seeing the morning after the struggle, the joy after the morning of the night that's going to come in the morning or the dawn of the new day. And that is encouraging him to endure the cross. Can you see that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And then here is Jesus contemplating the cross, and an angel appears to strengthen him. And the Bible tells us about that in a different way by just telling us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I think it's pretty clear. You can see that the joy was being set before him, yes, but by the help of a messenger. A messenger who, by being charged to the cause of that showing of joy, became that identity. The angels become the identity of what they are charged to support, or to help in. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. My friend, you who is out there, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Weeping may endure for the night, according to Psalm 30 verse 5, but joy comes in the morning. And one of those moments when you're in a hard place, you're going to feel like there is some unusual way in which you're being pointed towards the outcome. It's going to be good. Hang in there. There's joy coming in the morning. Because I have come as an angel to help you. I mean, this is the angel, so to speak, planting thoughts in your mind, and is showing you that this presence you're feeling around you, which is making you think about the outcome that is coming so that you should endure the trouble, is actually because an angel is there. Hallelujah. You don't have to see him first to believe he is there. Oh man, I wish you get that. That is really, really awesome. Now, the third angel I would like us to talk about or to see is the angel that you can call the vengeance of God. In the Bible, in Deuteronomy 32 verse 35 and Romans 12 verse 17 to 19, the Bible tells us that vengeance is mine, I will repay. Therefore, leave vengeance to the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. He says, vengeance is mine, leave it to me, I will repay. Now, when we read that, we usually just, again, we think of it as a word, which is true. It is a word. But remember, angels go into action at the voice of his word, which is made up of words. So when he says vengeance is mine, there is an angel, or there are angels that are charged to see that comes through, to see through that word. The word of vengeance is mine. So when he says vengeance is mine, I will repay, I want you to picture the scenario. Praise the Lord. In fact, here it even gives you a highlight, because it tells you in verse 20 of Romans 12 that if you don't repay evil for evil but good for evil, burning coals will be heaped upon the one who has done you wrong. The heaping of burning coals upon their head, how do you suppose it's being carried out? It's an angel that is doing that. Praise the Lord. It's not that is what really motivates you to see them, you know, burning coals put on their head. But nevertheless, the angels are the ones doing it. Praise the name of Jesus. Just like how hailstones were thrown from heaven, and all we see are hailstones falling in the battles of Joshua, I believe it was. But actually, it wasn't just happening by itself. Angels were actually seeing to it that happens to the enemies of Joshua and his people. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, I wanted to show you that this vengeance is mine thing happened in the time when Sennacherib attacked Hezekiah, the kingdom of Judah under Hezekiah. And what happens? He came and threatened and said other people had gods, but it didn't help them that they had gods. But here you are, you're lying to the people. You people don't believe Hezekiah. And Hezekiah told the people, with this man is an army, is a sword, is a spear. But with us is the Lord our God to help us. And in a sense, what Hezekiah is saying, leave it to God. Leave it to God. Leave it to the one who says, the battle is mine. Hallelujah. The victory is yours. And what happened? The Bible says that an angel sent from God went out into the camp, I think it was at night, and he killed 185,000 captains of Sennacherib. And the next day, when they woke up, Sennacherib was so downcast, he went back to his kingdom, and praise the name of Jesus, some people from his ranks killed him. They betrayed him and killed him. And that was the end of the story. Someone who had all his might and power and had come to rain down trouble on the kingdom was annihilated, as simply as that. Why? Because vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay was carried out by an angel. An angel went and carried out the principle that the battle is the Lord's, but the victory is ours. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If I had time, I could go into much more, but let's leave it right here. I remind you to tune in at 6:30 p.m. for the message by our pastor on 98.4 Impact FM under the title, The Words of Moses, and you will be blessed. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.